You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
One of the highlights of summer is all the fruit that's in season. It's great to eat them raw, but it also brings many opportunities for baking, pies, crisps, cobblers, tarts, and more. And you can even grill fruit. Melissa Clark is here to tell us how and to share her ideas for making the most of summer fruit. She is a New York Times dining section columnist as well as a cookbook author. Her most recent, of course, is Cook This Now, and I'm always pleased to have her on our show.
Pleasure to be here.
And, of course, we invite you, our listeners, to also join in the conversation. If you have questions or suggestions, you can reach us at 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org. You can also join us on Facebook and Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. Do you have, Melissa, do you have favorite summer fruits? Or do you like everything?
I pretty much like everything. I mean, I can't think of a single summer fruit that I don't like, except for Cape gooseberries. Have you ever had a Cape gooseberry? They're little orange fruit that are wrapped in a husk. They almost look like baby tomatillos from the outside. And then you unwrap them and you eat
you
the little
like
orange.
Them?
They're okay. But aside from that, I love every
they're called husk. They're called husk tomatoes.
Oh, husk tomatoes are, yes, exactly.
Yeah. And I actually grow them.
Do you?
Well, we grow them in the backyard, yeah.
What do you do with them?
Put them on a salad.
Put them on a salad. Okay, I will try that. But I usually just eat them.
Wonderful flavor. You just have to pick them at the right moment.
Okay, maybe I'm getting them
underripe. So maybe you'll like those as well.
They're good. I'm learning something. This is great.
We have posted your recipe for plum cake on our website. Can you tell us about it?
Okay. Plums are one of my favorites. Plums are in season right now, and they're just going to get better. This is the beginning of plum season. You have so many different varieties. You know, people think plums. They don't think each plum has an individual personality, and people tend to lump them all together into one big plum category, and they
That's
taste
plum
so
logo.
Different. Exactly. They're just plum crazy. But there's so many different varieties, not to mention the family of pluots, you know, which is a plum crossed with an apricot. So the first thing is to taste all the different varieties. Try as many different varieties as you can right now because we have them. And it's a very short – each one is only out for a short period of time. Right now I've seen Italian prune plums coming to the market, Santa Rosa plums, which are teeny and red. Little yellow Mirabelle are so beautiful. Then you have the big green plums. What are those called? Green Gage. And you can use any of them in this plum cake recipe that I will tell you about, which is an upside-down cake. And it's got polenta as the base. So you have this rich cornmeal-imbued cake. It's buttery, it's soft, and then the topping is just plums that have been stewed with sugar. And it's kind of like a cobbler because you have the soft cooked plums with sugar. But instead of the biscuits, you have a rich polenta cake.
Are plums better for cakes than for pies?
No, plums are fantastic in pies. They're less juicy than peaches, which can be nice because you don't have to add quite as much thickener. And their skins also add a fantastic spicy flavor. But I think they're just as nice in pies as they are in cakes.
They can be pretty tart sometimes. Should you always taste the fruit before you bake with it?
You should always taste the fruit before you add the sugar. I like to use plums of different ripenesses kind of mixed together because plums that are a little bit more tart, if you have a good ratio of some plums that are a little tart and some plums that are very sweet, you don't need to add as much lemon juice. You know, you always want to add an acid, a little bit of lemon juice to fruit just to bring out the flavor and to balance the sweetness and to add some complexity. But if you have tart plums, you don't need to do that.
It's interesting that lemon juice and salt almost seem counterintuitive, and yet they work in these things.
Yeah.
Any kind of plums will do? Because you mentioned so many different kinds.
You want a mix. I always like a mix. Or if you see one kind and they look beautiful. Either way. I mean, what's nice about a mix of plums is you have the different colors, and that looks just so pretty, especially if you're going to have a beautiful – say you wanted to do a fruit tart, a plum tart, and you bake your pastry first, and then maybe you put some pastry cream on the bottom or, you know, an almond cream or even just plain old whipped cream is fantastic. You take your plums, the different color plums. In this case, you want them all to be ripe because you're going to use them raw. You have them or you slice them, and you just put them on the tart, and it is one of the most beautiful things, and it's something unusual. People don't see that very often. The trick to that, though, is you want to put a little jam on top because you want to gloss it up. So you've got
plum jam?
if you can find plum jam, or you can make your own homemade plum jam. But any kind of jam, apricot is great. Red currant is great. A little jelly. Just melt it down, brush it on top, and it is so pretty. And it's not something that you see every day.
Peaches have been spectacular this summer. Do you prefer whites or yellows?
You know, peaches have been spectacular. The peaches have been phenomenal. I've been getting
some years are better than others.
This is a good
peach year.
The
white peaches have been so sweet.
Yes.
Some people have actually complained to me that they're too sweet. I can never imagine a too sweet peach.
I like whichever one is in my hand at the moment, right? Whether it's yellow or white, I love them. I mean, white ones tend to be a little bit more delicate. They have call it a floral perfume. They kind of smell rosy to me. And then the yellow ones are just balanced, and they're sweet and they're peachy. They're delicious.
Do you cook them with the skins on?
This is a matter of great debate. So I did this peach slab pie recipe for the Times a few months ago, and maybe 6 weeks ago, which I think we linked to on your website. So if people want the recipe, they can go to your website and they can just click over. It is a fabulous recipe with the skins or without the skins. I left the skins on just because I don't mind the skins, especially when they're cooked. I don't find them, you know, they lose their fuzz and they get soft, and I think they just kind of melt in with the filling. I got so many comments with people saying, how could you not peel the peaches? And I'm thinking, well, you can peel the peaches if you want to peel the peaches, peel the peaches. I wonder about your listeners out there. What do you think? Peach skin, yay or nay? Let us know. I'm taking a little survey. I don't mind it. A lot of my best friends can't stand it and they peel it. Here's something about peeling a peach, though. You don't need to blanch it. Many people will blanch a peach.
Yeah, put it in boiling water.
You don't need to do that.
The skins come off very easily.
They come off very easily. Just if you have a ripe enough peach, just take your vegetable peeler, and it'll just slide right off.
That I didn't realize.
Yes, that's a good. That's one of my favorite summer tips.
So can I can't do that with a tomato. You do have to blanch it.
You do have to blanch it, but you know, have you ever done the grater trick, where you take, say that you want peeled tomato for a sauce or a compote or something where it's going to fall apart anyway. You have the tomato across the equator. You take it with the skin on and you put it up against a box grater, the large holes, and you just smush it. And you grate, and all the yummy flesh comes out into the middle of the grater, and you're left right on your hand with a sheer piece of skin. And then you throw that skin out.
The problem with peaches is that they can get really juicy. It's wonderful when you're biting into a peach and the juices run down your chin. But they can create a big mess when you're baking with them.
Yes.
So how do you get past that?
Yeah,
you have to put tapioca.
You have to thicken. That is one thing that we were talking about, plums versus peaches. And should I make a peach pie? Should I make a plum pie? Plums need less thickener because they're not as juicy. Peaches need a bit more thickener. It also depends on how juicy you like your fruit pies. Some people really like their fruit pies pretty solid. Like when you cut it, there's not a lot of juice. Some people don't mind when you cut the pies and then juices just run out everywhere.
But it ruins the crust when it's too juicy.
Well,
the crust gets
all
soggy.
It's true. If you eat it right away, then you're good, because then you're okay. Then it doesn't sit around. But it's true. If you're going to eat it the next day, then it does get soggy. So, yeah, that's another question for your listeners. Juicy peach pie, or do you like it solid? I like to use tapioca as my thickener. I find that it has the least flavor, and it just thickens it up, and it's this beautiful, clear, you know, juice. I don't use that much. I like it in the middle. I like it a little runny, but not so juicy that it's going to, you know, drip on the plate and down your
So down just put a little lap. Tapioca into
little tapioca.
The pie.
Right. You could also use flour. You could use cornstarch. I have something to tell you about cornstarch. So you probably know this, or maybe you don't, but I think maybe a bunch of your listeners don't, because it's something that
I know nothing.
You know so much, and you know it. You're a great cook. Okay, this is great. So when you're cooking any pie, doesn't matter what kind of fruit pie, if you use cornstarch, you must bring that pie in the oven to a boil. You must cook it until you see big bubbles all, you know, in the center of the pie, really, but it has to bubble vigorously.
Why is it?
Because if you don't bring that liquid to a boil, you don't activate the cornstarch. Especially, I know this is okay, especially with pies like blueberries, which you kind of get a little bit thick, but then when you cut them, they run all over the place. It's often because you haven't let the cornstarch activate and become very thick. And I feel like this is a big downfall. A lot of people have said to me over the years, I have problems with pies. I follow the recipe, but they had come out. They're just too wet. They're too juicy in the center. And I think that people are not baking them long enough. So if you're worried about the crust over browning, just put some foil on top of it, you know, or put some foil around the edges to keep the crust from getting too brown. But do let your pies bubble over. You want it to really, like, And by the way, always bake your pie on top of a cookie sheet because it will bubble over. Yes. And it will get on the bottom of your oven, and then you will be scrubbing it for days.
Unless you have a self-cleaning oven.
Even my self-cleaning oven. I think I have blueberry pie there from 4 years ago.
We are taking calls at 212-433-9692 for Melissa Clark, who visits our show on a semi-regular basis.
About every month or so.
And Andy has an idea about something to do with peaches. Andy from the Bronx. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Leonard and Melissa. So just as Leonard's show is coming on, I was taking a peach cobbler out of the oven that I made. I got some great peaches from an orchard in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and I made a cobbler with like a cornmeal biscuit on the top, and I definitely peeled the peaches, and instead of cornstarch, I used arrowroot starch. Maybe you can tell me about that.
Actually, maybe you can tell me about that. I've never used arrowroot starch for doing a cobbler. How does it work? Does you need to boil it as well to thicken it, or is it more forgiving?
And does it add flavor?
Well, I don't think it's about the flavor, but that's what I had. I don't usually use cornstarch, and I definitely let the peaches come to a bubbling boil before I took it out of the oven. But when I was I mixed the peaches after I sliced them with some brown sugar, mm-hmm. and I put them over a colander, and I let the juices come out of the peaches and the sugar, and I used that liquid and mixed it with a little of the arrowroot, about a teaspoon, some lemon juice, and then I mixed that back into the peaches. I put the peaches into a glass dish into the oven. I baked that for about 10 minutes, and then I put my biscuits on top and let them bake.
That's a nice technique because that keeps the biscuits from getting too soggy. Great. Thank you so much for that call. That's really interesting.
By the way, you'll be happy to hear that a lot of people have been writing in about whether to cook with the skin on or not.
Oh, yeah. And what's the consensus here?
Keep the skins on.
Oh, right. Lazy people win.
I don't know if it's lazy. The skins, by the way, in most fruits and vegetables, the skins have a lot of the vitamins,
so
and they're actually healthier for us. I don't know whether baking a peach you lose some of that, but I like the idea of apple skins and peach skins because I think they're good for me.
And, you know, another thing about skins, plum skins have all the flavor. If you peel a plum and you eat that plum, it tastes sort of sweet and bland. The skin is where you have the spice, where you have the tannin and all the complexity to a plum. So I'd say do not peel your plums because you'll be losing a lot of the flavor.
Dan from Sleepy Hollow. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. When I make pies, I like to boil down the fruit first. Cherries, peaches, all that kind of stuff. I put them in a pot, boil them down for quite a while, a couple hours sometimes even, just to get all the water out, make it nice and thick, and then I just throw it in the pie shell. And so it's just the fruit, and it's delicious.
Okay.
But the fruit gets kind of mushy, and one of the nice things about a peach pie is a little bit of firmness in the peach.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I just like the full 100% taste. I don't know.
It's a nice way to cook without sugar, though, right? You're doing it without sugar?
Yeah, sometimes put in a little bit of sugar, not too much.
But the more you cook fruit, the more the sugar comes out.
Right, exactly. It concentrates it. That sounds like a nice, very soft sort of pureed pie. It sounds nice.
Can you use nectarines the same way that you use peaches?
Yeah, and then you really don't have to worry about the skins because the nectarines don't have the fuzz problem.
And the apricots, which do have fuzz?
I find that fuzz on apricots to be so, minuscule. It doesn't even register when I eat it. And besides, I've never actually peeled an apricot. I'm sure it can be done, but I've never tried it. Apricots are so great.
As someone who has a little fuzz on his face.
You're not anti-fuzz
at all. I'm pro-fuzz. We are going to take a little break, and we will be back with more. Our number here, 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. More Melissa Clark right after this. We are back with Melissa Clark. I'm assuming all of you read her column every Wednesday in the New York Times in the food section, and that you have a collection of her cookbooks. So we have given up counting how many cookbooks she has written, but the most recent one is called Cook This Now. Can we expect a new one in the near future?
As a matter of fact, I am working on one right now as we speak. this very, well, not this very second, but I will be going home, and you know what I'll be making? I'll be making arepas with fresh corn, which is going to go into my new cookbook. So you can look forward to that in 2016.
One of the problems with cherries is just so labor-intensive pitting them.
Yes.
How do we get around that?
You buy a cherry pitter. this was the best thing I ever bought. It is under $50. I use it. I bring it out in the summer, so I probably use it 3 times a year, but and I've had it for years, and it is wonderful. It's the kind where you you basically have a little handle, and the cherries go into a little canal, and you just press the pits right out, and one comes after the other, and it goes very quickly. I can do a pound of cherries in 5 minutes. I mean, you can also, there are many different ways you can just, push them out with your fingers. You can use one of the old-fashioned hairpins. You can use an olive pitter works. If you don't mind losing a little bit of juice, or if you don't mind them getting mushy, you can actually just you can line them up on your counter. You can take a big pot and you can just sort of whack at them and then pick out. That's good for if you're making a cherry puree or ice cream or something like that.
Do you mix fruits?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I like to mix fruits because not everything is ripe at the same time. Like, I don't often have an entire bowl of ripe peaches. So I tend to mix things because I want to use up the ripest fruits in the moment. And so I'll mix whatever, peaches and plums. I always say that all stone fruit will go together. So any kind of stone fruit that you have. So stone fruit also includes cherries and peaches and plums and apricots and nectarines. Those all mix beautifully. Just you can substitute one for another pretty easily. You might have to adjust the thickener because peaches are a little bit juicier than plums, etc. But for the most part, it's going to all come out well.
Strawberries and blueberries are now going out of season.
We are going to lose our strawberries. In fact, I haven't really seen strawberries in a while. So strawberries,
I have, but
they're not as good, right?
They're not what they were just a couple of months ago or a month ago.
But we still have raspberries.
Yeah.
Raspberries will have through September. So if you missed raspberries earlier in the season, there's a second crop and they come out right about now. Blueberries will have for at least another month.
A listener has asked about fruit clafouti.
Oh, clafouti.
Yeah.
Clafouti?
Clafouti. Well, I've always said clafouti because I didn't know how it was. and wonders what a basic recipe would be and which fruits work best.
Okay. A clafouti is basically like a big baked pancake. So it's so simple to mix up. You just mix up eggs and milk and melted butter and sugar. I think that's all that goes into it. And a pinch of salt always. And you just mix that up like you're making a pancake batter and flour, of course. If I didn't say flour, flour goes in. But not much flour. You want it custardy. So you want to have more eggs and milk and a very thin batter. You take your fruit. If you want, you can take cherries and you can pit them. In France, they never pit them. So however you want to do it. I like a plum clafouti. It's fabulous. Again, plums are great because they're not as juicy, so they won't dilute the mixture, so they're perfect. So you take your plums, you quarter them, take out the pits, throw them in a dish. Then you put your pancake-ish batter over it, and you bake it at high heat. I forget if it's 375, 400, maybe even 425, and it puffs up, and it's so beautiful. And it should be puffy and brown on the top, but still custardy in the center. You serve it warm. If you want to gild the lily, you can just serve it with a custard sauce on top. But it's also great with a fruit sauce. If you're using cherries, you can make a cherry syrup. It is a delicious dessert.
I'm already imagining vanilla ice cream.
Oh, vanilla ice cream would be perfect. Or sorbet, like a cherry sorbet on top of a cherry one would be fantastic.
Eleanor from Manhattan, hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi. I make a fruit soup with summer fruits, and it's not sweet. It's used as a first course. Of course, it's cold, and it's delicious. I use an assortment of ripe fruits, whatever's around. I throw in a couple of blueberries if I have them because they add good color. And cook the fruit in water, I would say about a third to two-thirds water, a third of mixed fruit. When it's cooked thoroughly, I blend it and then thicken it with a little cornstarch. And again, I agree, you have to bring it back to a boil and sugar and lemon. Very little sugar. It depends on the fruits. And it's served chilled with sour cream or with plain yogurt.
Or creme fraiche.
Ah, indeed.
That sounds delicious.
A creme fraiche would be wonderful. But it's good straight, too.
That, I love that idea. I've never done that. And that sounds like such a nice, refreshing thing to have as a first course, or as just, I would just eat that for lunch or for breakfast with yogurt in it. That sounds absolutely delicious. Oh, I'm so happy for that call, because I have some fruit that's maybe just getting slightly past its perfection. And that's a good way to use it.
Well, summer is a good time to have cold soups anyway.
Yes.
And we don't just want to have gazpacho every time.
No, I've had so much gazpacho last year. I haven't actually made it once this year. I'm a little gazpachoed out, but fruit soup sounds great. And then there's cucumber soup, which I love as well.
What about grilling fruits? Are there tricks? You can't just stick them on the grill, can you?
You can.
You shouldn't use a basket?
Well, it depends on how big they are. Big peaches, you can just stick right on the grill. Cherries or small fruits, apricots, anything that might sort of escape and run away, then you want to put it in a grill basket. Some people like to take their fruit, they skewer them. So they'll take peaches and they'll have them and they'll baste them with honey butter, or you can do a sweet or a savory version. If you want to do a savory version, olive oil and salt is really, it really is good with grilled fruit. They get kind of caramelized, but they stay savory with the fruit's own sweetness. And then if you want a sweeter one, you do a little bit of butter melted with some brown sugar or some honey and just baste it. And it is such a simple dessert.
Well, the last time you were here, it was suggested that the peaches be grilled with bacon. Tried it.
And?
It didn't really – well, I
what
put,
happened?
Them in, put them in aluminum foil. Uh-huh. And the bacon didn't, of course, crisp up at all. And the whole thing just kind of – The maybe it was the wrong kind of bacon. Maybe I needed saltier bacon, but just didn't really make it.
Huh. And if you wrapped the peaches in bacon and did it directly on the grill, that could work, but it also, you could get a lot of flare-ups because bacon is so fatty and it would drip down and then it would... I'm always scared of flare-ups, because not because I mind the fire, but because I don't want anything to burn. I want it to be cooked perfectly without burning.
What about watermelon recipes? Should we just eat the watermelon in slices?
Yeah. I can't,
melons in general. Well, melons make good soups.
Watermelon gazpacho. Now that's a gazpacho I could get behind right now. Instead of tomatoes, you use watermelon, and it is fabulous, or a combination. But really my favorite thing, I love watermelon. I love it just plain. I also like it in salads with a little bit of salt on it, or a little bit of feta. It's great with feta cheese or some salty cheese. All melons, the same thing. Once I made a very elaborate watermelon dessert where I juiced the watermelon and then I set it with cornstarch until it became almost like jelly. And by the time I had done that, I had to boil it, obviously, to get the cornstarch to thicken, and I juiced it and I had to strain it. And it was okay, but
you've done it.
Once I've done that, yeah. And it looked so beautiful in the cookbook, and I thought, oh, this is so beautiful. But nothing as good as just a sliced up watermelon, just eaten, standing over the counter. The second you slice it, cold from the fridge, it's perfect.
Best if it's seeded, because it is sweeter, but... difficult.
I had something, I don't know if listeners have had this, and maybe I'm just the last person to know about this, orange watermelon. Mm-hmm. I had orange watermelon for my CSA this year, and it was the sweetest watermelon I think I've ever had. Seedless, or those teeny little white seeds, beautiful, sort of salmon colored. It was sweet, it was beautiful, and it was easy to eat. It was really, I applaud this watermelon. It must be an heirloom variety, or maybe it's a new variety. I don't know. If anyone can tell us anything about this fabulous orange watermelon, I would love to know.
My guest is Melissa Clark. She does a weekly column in the New York Times dining section. Also, her most recent cookbook is Cook This Now. And we're taking your calls at 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle is at Leonard Lopate. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. Billy from Manhattan, hi, you're on the air. Oop, Billy's not there anymore. I think Billy was talking about making an ice cream. And ice creams can be a real problem because they often have, if you're using a really juicy fruit like peaches or even strawberries, they get a bit icy.
Yes.
How do you get past the icy?
Yeah, this is one of those big debates in the ice cream world. People spend a lot of time really thinking about this. So there are different theories of what to do. One thing, that the easiest thing to do is to puree your fruit. Because if you puree it, it's well integrated. It flavors the custard really well. That's what I do. I find it's the easiest.
Do you use an egg custard with a peach? Because a lot of the recipes, when talking about peaches, get very basic and just simply use
peaches
milk.
Peaches and cream. You know, I've done it both ways. I find that if you're going to store it in your freezer for more than, say, a couple of hours, what the egg does is it stabilizes it, increases the richness so you have that extra flavor, but it acts as a stabilizer, so it keeps better. If you're going to – one of my favorite things to do is take just peaches, cream, and sugar, put them in an ice – you know, puree them, put them in an ice cream machine, and then eat it right out of the machine. Don't even put it in the freezer. Have it like soft serve, and that is fabulous, and that you won't get a lot of crystallization because you're not deep freezing it.
Now, Jenny's, which is a famous ice cream maker from Columbus,
yes,
they put corn syrup into their ice cream. They say that gets rid of the iciness.
It does. They use a combination of, you know, I tested a bunch of her recipes. I did a big ice cream column in the Times this year, which people can find if they want to look for it, where I really did a lot of different flavors. And I tested her recipe for an eggless base, and she uses cream cheese, I think corn, maybe corn starch as well, and corn syrup. And it is a lovely texture. It's velvety. It wasn't my favorite because of the cream cheese tang. For me, it was distracting. It also can add a great flavor if you're looking for that. But I was looking for something a little more, just something a little cleaner. So.
Well, a lot of people use buttermilk, and
yes,
that also adds
tang,
a tang, but it's a different kind of tang than cream cheese.
It is, and cream cheese also has a cooked flavor. You know, buttermilk has a freshness that I really like. I actually love peach buttermilk ice cream. It's fantastic. But cream cheese has a little bit of a cooked flavor. It was sort of like eating cheesecake, you know, like a frozen cheesecake, which is good, but it wasn't what I was looking for in the moment.
A caller, Selma from Manhattan, says that there's an old Italian saying about peach peeling. If you want to do your enemy a favor, offer to peel the peach for him.
Okay, wait, I don't get it. Wait, your enemy a favor?
Yeah. Well, I guess that's like you're not really doing a favor.
Oh. Okay, took me a minute. Sorry about that.
Bob from Rego Park, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Lenny, great show. Listen, I'd like to ask you a question. I'm a vegetarian. I don't eat milk or butter, sugar, cheese or anything, and I love blueberry pie. I never buy it because I read the directions about the crust. How do you make great crust vegetarian-wise without any milk products?
That is a tough one. That is probably one of the hardest things to do. You can use – have you ever tried doing a crust with coconut oil?
No, I never did.
Coconut oil is great because it stays solid at room temperature. Well, if it's a cold room, take some coconut oil, put it in your fridge, get it nice and cold, and then follow a recipe for a pie crust using coconut oil instead of the butter. Got to work quickly, keep everything cold. In fact, you could even put your flour in the fridge before you start, and the coconut oil will help make a pretty decent crust. I really like it. Coconut oil has a lovely sweet flavor as well, so it adds that dimension to the crust, and then you won't use any dairy products.
Great idea. Thank you very much.
You are welcome.
Thank you. What about just making jams, kind of refrigerated jams?
I love refrigerator jams. I make jams all year. Well, not all year. I guess I do. In the winter, I'll use citrus roots. I'll make marmalades. In the summer, I'll use fresh roots. I like to make small batch jams, just enough to fit in my – I have a 2-quart saucepan, so very small, little batches of jam with fruits that are just perfectly ripe, just enough sugar to bring it all together. I don't cook it too long. I like it on the runny side. And once making jam is so easy. You basically cook sugar and fruit together until it looks like jam. And when it looks like jam, it is jam. And then you put it in a jar. I put my jars in the dishwasher. I keep them very hot. I put the hot jam into the hot jar. I seal it. And then I turn it over. I let it cool. And it's not thoroughly – I don't process it again in a water bath. I skip that step. But it will last in the refrigerator for the whole season. I mean, if you keep that in the fridge, it will last you for a year.
A year? Wow.
Oh, here's another thing about jam. Don't be afraid of jam. The worst thing that can happen with your jam is it will get moldy if you keep it in the cabinet.
And you
it
can
won't
see
kill
that.
You. Yeah, you can see it. It's not going to kill you. You're not going to get anything terrible. So even if you make jam and you do it the method like I just said with a very hot jar that's not sterile, you don't re-boil it, you can put that in the pantry. And if it looks moldy, you throw it out. But if there's nothing terrible that could happen, even if you ate jam, say you didn't see the mold, it still wouldn't hurt you. It would just taste bad. So you're not risking anything very, you know, very important.
Fruit salads can be great, but they can also be very boring. Do you have a trick for making them more exciting?
balsamic vinegar is a nice little trick that adds, you know, balsamic and strawberries is a very traditional Italian way to serve the fruit. I like a little balsamic. In fact, fruit salad is one of my favorite places for balsamic vinegar because it plays up its natural sweetness. I don't love it in salad dressings, but I love it with fruit, a little bit of honey. And, you know, if you have a good honey and a good balsamic and maybe you just can add a little bit of lemon thyme, you know, you can bruise it and just kind of mix it in. It's lovely.
Debbie from Greenpoint says that orange watermelon is called orange sunshine hybrid. So it's a hybrid.
It's a hybrid. Well, it is a good one. I really enjoyed it.
We go to Kira now from Manhattan. Hi, Kira. You're on the air.
Hi. I got a melon in my CSA, and I'm not the biggest fan of melon. And I was just wondering if you have any tips on how to make some sort of dish, like maybe a smoothie or something, with other fruits to kind of dilute the melon taste.
You want to cover up that melon.
Yeah, I don't want to waste it.
Oh, I love melon.
I love melon too. Can you send it over here? You may have, we would like some very much
I'll
right
try.
Now. No, you know what?
I'll
that's
put a stamp on it.
A smoothie.
What kind of melon is it? Not cantaloupe.
You know, I don't even know. I'm just not a melon expert.
You ever tried it with prosciutto?
Is it beige?
It's like a beigeish. It might have a little bit of like a green tint.
Yeah, that's like a cantaloupe type thing or a crenshaw or something in that family. Mm-hmm. And does it smell good?
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
If you like melon, it's also good. Okay, yeah, you can use it as a base of a smoothie. Melon is great because it is kind of neutral if you add a lot of really powerful fruits. Do you like blueberries? Because blueberries
I
and
do.
Melon. Yeah, blueberries will just take over the melon. You won't even taste it, and they're really good for you. You don't need any liquid. So here's the thing about melon. You throw it in the blender with your blueberries, maybe a touch of honey, and a banana. You whirl that up. You don't need to add any other kind of liquid because the melon has enough liquid, and you'll get a fabulous smoothie that really won't taste like melon.
Now, why do you think prosciutto and cantaloupe go so well together?
So good.
Is it the salt and the sweet?
It is the salt and the sweet and also the juiciness. You know, you have this good melon is so sweet and so juicy, and the prosciutto is just a little bit sort of fatty and not dry, but it's silky and satiny, and it's just the two textures, aside from the flavors, work so well together. I haven't had a good plate of prosciutto and melon all season long. I think it is... I'm going to have watermelon gazpacho again and cantaloupe and prosciutto for dinner.
We have no more time.
Oh,
no. A number of people have called in wondering about granitas and sorbets. Any tricks?
The easiest thing. Granitas are fabulous. Puree your fruit. Make a sugar syrup, or you can actually cook the fruit down with a little sugar. All you do is you put it in a loaf pan, so just a metal loaf pan in your freezer, and let it sit there for an hour. And then after 1 hour, just take a fork and kind of stir it around after that every 20 minutes, and then you're going to get something that's between a granita and an Italian ice. And it is so refreshing and so easy. People
love it. You've given us a number of recipes, and we also have a link to your recipe for ice creams that was
good.
In the Times. And your recipe for upside-down polenta plum cake is on our show page. So there's a lot of reasons for people to start cooking with fruit.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for being with us again.
Thanks for having me.
We'll have you back soon, I hope.
I hope so.